And good morning, Exchange. Take your Bibles if you guys have them with you there and turn with me. We're going to look at 1 Peter this morning, this letter that we've started to study in the New Testament, in the second part of the Bible that we've started to study together here in middle school. We're going to look at 1 Peter in chapter 1 this morning. I can remember the first time I heard somebody talk about California. And to you, that might sound like it doesn't make any sense because you've always lived in California. But I grew up in a state far away in the Midwest and didn't really know anything about California until a day I really remember pretty well when my best friend, one of my closest friends in elementary school, came back with his family from a trip to California. And he talked about how great California is. He talked about the palm trees and how there's beaches in California. He told us all about how like there's nice weather in the winter. There's not snow like there was where I grew up. And then he told us about Disneyland. He had and his family had taken a trip to Disneyland, and they had a great time. He talked about the rides and just seeing like the castle and having a great day at Disneyland. And I remember him coming back to talk about his experience in California and like just how you have to go to California at least someday. And in sort of a way, that's kind of what's happening in 1 Peter this morning. It's Peter telling us something that's really great, something that we should want to experience for ourselves, something that he's experienced and something that he wants you to also experience. And Peter here is not talking about going on a trip somewhere or, you know, playing a new video game or going to a restaurant with like really good food or something like that. Peter, though, here is, I think, kind of like a friend who wants us to understand and know for ourselves about having a relationship with God. He wants us to understand the goodness of God for ourselves, for your own life. Not just to know facts about God, but to actually have a relationship with God for yourself. And he's experienced that himself, and here he wants to tell us all about that. He wants to remind the friends that he's writing to here in this letter about the goodness of God in how he treats sinners, how he treats undeserving people, and brings them into a new relationship with himself. He wants everyone to know and experience for themselves how great and how good God is. And these verses that we'll see this morning tell us all about how good God is. And for believers in Jesus, for Christian, these are verses that we can agree with and that we can say, amen, Peter, I'm right there with you. I agree with what you're saying. We can tell other people right along with Peter about how good God is, and how we've experienced his goodness in our own life. And here's why I love God, because he is so good. Here's what you can tell other people as a Christian about God and about what he's done in your life. Here's what you can worship God for if you've become a Christian. And if you're not a Christian yet, if you haven't believed in Jesus to save you from your sins, I'm hoping that you listen really closely to these verses from God's word here, and that you would listen and understand what Peter tells us about God who made us, who created you, and specifically what he's like in providing salvation, in saving sinners from their sins. And I pray that when you listen to what the Bible tells you here, if you're not a Christian, that you would be encouraged to turn to God, not to run away from God, but that you would run right to him and look to him and follow him. Here's a big idea for us to take away this morning to see that I need to realize how good God is. No matter who you are, you need to realize, start to realize how good God is in his character. And Peter tells us all about God's goodness here. And we can really understand this by looking at four details. I want us to look at four details to pull out and discover from these verses to help us understand just how good God is. So first, let's read from 1 Peter here in chapter 1, starting in verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you." The very first word there that we find in verse 3 is that word blessed, blessed. And that's just a fancy word that Peter uses to say, I'm going to say some good things about God. It literally is a word that means to give a good word, to speak well about somebody. And here, Peter wants us to speak well about God and to worship God and to honor him with our words and with our hearts on the inside. And he's writing this just saying, like, I can tell you how good God is and that we should worship him now for how good he is. And he does this by giving us four different details for us to see here and to help us understand God's goodness. And so I want us to look at these. And the first detail that we can see here is detail number one, that God shows great mercy. Verse 3 tells us that God shows great mercy. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," meaning we can say good things about God. Why? Because according to his great mercy. Peter tells us something incredible about God here. God can be known for showing mercy. He is merciful. Mercy means God looks on people who are sinful, who have rebelled against him, who have done what does not please him, people who deserve his punishment for going against his law. And God has compassion on those people. God has pity and love for those people. He looks at lawbreakers and sinners who have offended him and who deserve the penalty that sin brings, who deserve God's judgment. And he knows that your sin is not okay. He doesn't excuse your sin. And though we find here that God has compassion on those people, he decides to show love to those people. He shows kindness and care. God shows mercy from his character. And Jesus told the story about a man who was in a situation who was stuck in his sin. It's the story of a tax collector who came into a temple and he knew he was a sinner. The man was guilty of sin in his heart. He knew it. He had sinned against God and it was making him miserable. There was nothing he knew he could do in his own strength to fix his sin problem. But Jesus says that man cried out and said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And the story goes on to say that God did have mercy on that sinful person. God showed compassion on a sinner and forgave him. Someone who deserved punishment and who couldn't fix that problem of sin, God showed mercy. And that's what God is like. He shows compassion and love to sinners who can't do anything to save themselves. He doesn't give us the punishment we deserve as Christians. He shows mercy to us. He shows compassion to us in our hopelessness and our helplessness. The problem of our sin, of your sin in your heart is the biggest problem that you have, because your sin is against God and it deserves death. But God in his word here is telling us that he shows great mercy to people who are great sinners. He has shown compassion and love towards you, and he's done that by sending Jesus, not to ignore your sin or to pretend like your sin's no big deal or not a problem, but he sent Jesus to take the punishment that your sin deserves on himself on the cross. Jesus died in the place of sinners so that we could be forgiven, we could be counted righteous, so that we could be saved. And all that comes because God is merciful towards sinners. That's the story of every Christian. You have experienced God's mercy toward you. If you're a Christian, that's your story. God has looked on you in love. And even when you deserve punishment for your sin, God has made a way for you to be saved out of his love and his mercy. And so we can say that God is good because he shows great mercy. There's another detail to see here to help us see God's goodness, is that God also gives new life. Number two, God gives new life. Verse 3 also tells us this, that according to God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Peter says Christians are people who have been given a new spiritual life by God. They've been born again. You're made into somebody new if you are a Christian. The Bible talks about how before people are saved, when they're not Christians yet, in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 to 3, it talks about how everyone in this world by our nature, we're automatically dead in our own trespasses and sins. We're spiritually dead. And there's nothing we can do to make ourselves alive. We're going in the course of this world, we're going against God in sin, and we're headed towards destruction. That's our condition without Jesus, dead without spiritual life, spiritually dead. But God, here these verses remind us, does something that we can't do in ourselves. He can make somebody spiritually alive. He can cause them to be born again. And that just means that God doesn't just do like a little fixing up project. God doesn't just do like a remodel when he saves you, like someone taking an old rundown house and just, you know, changing a few things, painting a few things, and fixing a few small things that are broken. This isn't just a remodel when God saves you. He makes you an entirely new person. He makes you a whole new creation as a Christian, and he gives you a new spiritual life. Christians are called new creations in 2 Corinthians. And that means you're born into a spiritual life, a new person. You're a whole new you. And that's what describes every true Christian. God shows mercy, and then he gives us new spiritual life, causing us to be born again. Something that transforms us and makes us new on the inside out. That doesn't mean that if you're a Christian that because you're born again, you're going to live in perfection here in this world. Like, I've been born again, now I don't sin anymore. That's not what this is saying. But it does mean that it's going to come with a changed life, a new trust in Jesus, new desires, a new purpose, a new hate for sin, and a new desire to turn to Jesus and keep on turning to him. It's going to mean that you have a whole new life, a whole new future, a whole new goal in your life to honor God. And God does this great work to give sinners new life, to rescue them and to put them in a whole new direction, make them a whole new person. This is also the story of every Christian, that you're born again because God looked on you in love and he saved you and he made you a new creation. So God is good because he gives new life, it says. But how else can we see God's goodness here? We see that God shows great mercy. He gives new life. And third, we find out that he brings lasting hope. He brings lasting hope. If you look at verse 3 again, it says, we, talking about Christians, are born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When somebody becomes a Christian, God brings a whole new hope into their life. And it's a hope that's so encouraging. Sometimes we can get really excited hoping for something that's coming up in the future. It might be like a present that you're hopefully getting for Christmas. Maybe I'll get that. Or it could be, you know, just hoping for summer break to come really soon, even though it's the beginning of the school year. It could be you hoping that your team that you're on is going to win some games this year or is at least going to win like at least one game. It could be hoping to see a friend or a family member that you haven't seen in a while. All of those are good things to hope for. But those are the kind of hopes that I know you know about that come and then they fade. They come and they go. Hopes that don't last or stick around. They can be great for a little while, but they don't last. And some of those hopes are even sometimes things that bring big disappointment when they don't follow through, when they don't come true like we had hoped. But Peter is telling us here that there is one great hope that can never disappoint you. Christians have a hope in the future that lasts through all of their life. And it's a hope that's based on the fact that Jesus came and lived and died and that Jesus rose again from the grave. When Jesus died and when Jesus rose again, he accomplished a work for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be given perfect righteousness of Jesus on our account. Romans 4 says that Jesus was delivered over to die for our sins, and he was raised for our justification. A fancy way to say that Jesus accomplished something incredible to save us from our sins and to give victory over sin and to give victory over death and the punishment that sin brings. And now instead of that, God gives a future that's only hope and joy that lasts forever. Instead of judgment for your sin, God, because of the cross, because Jesus died and rose again, instead of judgment for your sin, there can be everlasting life and joy that lasts forever. A home in heaven and even joy in this world. It's ultimate hope that nothing can compare with, that Jesus alone can bring into somebody's life. Sometimes you hear about Christians, like everyone can go through really hard things, and you hear stories about Christians, you know, facing really difficult circumstances. You can even read books or biographies or people writing about their own story, these Christians talking about facing some of the most difficult things. But even when they're facing those difficult things, they can have incredible joy. They can be filled with so much peace and joy. How is that possible for somebody to go through hard things but to have joy? This is because of the work of Jesus on the cross, who died and rose again, and gives us a hope of heaven that lasts forever. Christians have a living hope as long as they're here in this world, a future, a hope that leads to a future that's secure for us because Jesus died and rose again. So God is good because he brings us a living hope. But there's one last detail to see here that the Bible gives us to help us see God's goodness. He shows great mercy. He gives new life. He brings living hope, even through difficult times. And number four, God provides a heavenly inheritance. God provides a heavenly inheritance. And everything that he's been talking about kind of leads up to this in verse 4, where he says Christians can look forward to an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Peter's been telling us about the goodness of God and how great it is to be a Christian who knows God as your Savior, who's experienced God's saving work in your life. And we need to understand this detail that he gives here just to help us understand how good God is. That verse 4, God has secured heaven for us. He's given us an inheritance that's kept, reserved in heaven for you. Instead of God's judgment for your sin, if you've become a Christian, if you've been saved by him, you have heaven and only heaven to look forward to in the future. Peace with God forever, rescued from sin and from judgment. That's our inheritance as Christians. And you know what it is to inherit something. You know what it's like to hear about a possession that's, you know, handed down as a gift to the next generation. Maybe you have something like that in your own family. It's like an old watch that your grandpa had and then your dad has it. And now maybe someday you'll have it. Maybe even you have it now. It's your inheritance that belongs to you. You have inherited something special. Well, God gives us something that we can look forward to inheriting in the future one day. And it's unlike anything this world could offer, because it's so much greater than just a thing like a watch or a place. There's nothing that can compare with this inheritance in the future in heaven. And Peter says it's undefiled, it's imperishable, it's not going to fade away. To be imperishable means it's never going to wear out. It's never going to be lost. It's never going to end. To be undefiled means it's totally pure, and that it will not fade away means it's never going to get old. It's never going to lose its beauty or stop amazing us. Heaven's going to be something that is beyond anything we can imagine, but it's never going to disappoint us. And Paul or Peter wants us to think about this future, if you're a Christian, that God's given you a home in heaven, a place in his kingdom, where your sins are forgiven, where you have everlasting peace, where you're rescued from what you deserve. I think that's kind of hard to really wrap our minds around all of what that means. But this is what the Bible says we receive, that we will inherit as Christians. And it's why we can say good things about God, why we can bless and praise God and tell other people about how good he is because of what he's done. These verses tell us about how good God is, like a friend who can't wait to tell you what he's just seen. And Peter knows this by his own experience. He wants everyone to know and experience for themselves how great and how good God is. These are what Christians know and experience, God's goodness to us. If you're not a Christian yet, if you haven't experienced God's saving you from your sins, these things are not for you. There's not mercy, there's God's judgment. If you're not a Christian, you're still dead in your sins. There's no new life. If you're not a Christian yet, there's no hope that lasts forever. You don't have an inheritance in heaven reserved for you. And I think that should make you ask, how can I have these things? How can I know the goodness of God in my life? How can I have what the Bible talks about here? You can have what the Bible talks about here. These things can be yours. You can have everlasting life, an inheritance in heaven. You can know God's mercy on you as a sinner. You can have everlasting hope. You can be born again. And Jesus says the word for you is that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but will have everlasting life. If you don't know Christ, the answer for you is to believe in Jesus, to look to him and to be saved, to turn and to put your trust in Jesus and be saved. And when you do turn to Jesus, you'll find that God is so good. The longer you are a Christian, if you are a believer, the more deeply and the more great we'll understand how good God is. And that's what God's word shows us here, to remind us, even a reminder for you if you've been a Christian for a long time. God is so good to you. God is so good to me. God is good. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and thank you that you show yourself here in your word so clearly, that there's mercy for us as sinners to be saved from our sins and to be not given what we deserve, but to be given grace, to be given an inheritance in heaven. Thank you for that hope that we have as believers in you, Jesus. And Lord, I do ask for any student here in this room who doesn't know you, that they would believe in Jesus and that they would be come a new creation, that you would save them from their sins and that they would become part of your kingdom and have an inheritance in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your word and how clear it is here for us today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.